Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live here on SportsGrid, this is the Early Line, hour number two. On a Monday morning, I'm Kevin Walsh. I'm joined by Donnie Wrightside. Packed hour two here. Full baseball slate to preview. Before we do that, we'll look at some of the top stories in Major League Baseball. Teams heating up. One, Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, Don, quick preview.
Yeah.
Are the Rays the greatest team in the history of Major League Baseball?
I mean, let's be frozen in time here, Kevin. If I could just freeze their batting statistics and use them for the remainder of the season, we will all be millionaires just from the Rays. How can the Rays pitch and get a shutout, it seems like, every game, and then drop double-digit runs repeatedly here? That's what we're getting out of the Rays right now. And by the way, 10,000 people in the seats there on a holiday Sunday. Congratulations, Rays fan, really supporting those teams down there.
I mean, you got to get in the mix there. Nobody scored more runs than the Rays. Nobody's allowed fewer runs than the Rays. We will talk about that. Oh, and by the way, Odell Beckham Jr. is a Baltimore Raven. Under normal circumstances, OBJ going to Baltimore not only would have led this show, but would have took up multiple segments here. Odell did it on a Sunday. That's on him. What I did want to do, though, was quickly talk about the NBA's play-in odds, because these are available right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. If you wanted to try and get out in front of something, or just to give at least people an idea, of course, the 7-8 games tomorrow, I know we'll be taking center stage here on the early line. We mentioned the Lakers and the Timberwolves with the injury news to Jaden McDaniels. And the Rudy Gobert questions, could Rudy miss this game? The Lakers are a 7-point home favorite. The total is 229. I would be surprised if they needed a holdout Gobert, but the fact that it's even a question speaks volumes.
It does speak volumes. And also, Kevin, as you take a look at the line there, that's a heavy number. Now, we're actually in the playoffs now, right? But if you're taking a look at what makes the most sense here, and call me crazy on this, you go out and you play the Lakers and you give it your best and you still lose. Or do you go out there, Kevin, and say, you know what? I don't know if we could beat the Lakers here. Why don't we make sure we rest our starters in the playoffs just to get to the second round of the play-in? That would be sensational. But that's a strong number. If I'm reading that number right now, the Lakers by double digits would be the way I'm going here.
That is crazy, but I do love it. I mean, yeah, it's because it's just the kind of fun. It never came to fruition, but remember when the Cavs had played the Warriors and Kevin Love got hurt, Kyrie got hurt, and LeBron was out there just kind of playing by himself, and they almost won the first game, and then the Cavs won the next two. If they would have been up 3-0, I think I would have rested LeBron for two games. I would have punted game four or punted game five and see if he could have been good enough to kind of win game six in Cleveland. Of course, that never materialized there. I'm very curious again to see what props look like. LeBron James all of a sudden back to giving you 30 a night. We'll start to see what his numbers look like here in a postseason type situation. The Heat and the Hawks will be the first game. The biggest question for me, and a guy I know that you've been willing to get to the window on in the props market, is Trae Young. The Miami Heat put him in hell last year. 3 out of 5 games, he scored 11 or less points. The efficiency was abysmal. Trae Young statistically was arguably the worst player in the playoffs last season with what he offered up in that Miami series. Radio audience here, early line, Sirius XM channel 159. That's the big question for me in Heat Hawks. What do we get out of Trae Young in this basketball game?
Yeah, you expect you get the best of Trae Young, but you're right. We haven't seen that in the past. And even though the Miami Heat, not really on the prowl that they were on the past couple years on the defensive side, but it was one of those teams where every time, Kevin, we would take a look at it on In-Play Sports, and hey, look, a Miami Heat game. Yeah, I'm not going against anybody on the other team because of how the Miami Heat can play. You're looking at lower scoring there, which should fit. But again, there's not a ton of pressure in this round. Do you want to win and advance? Absolutely. But if you do lose, you're not out of the playoffs altogether here, and you're seeing that five-point line. I look at the Miami Heat in South Beach. That's the way I want to go there, but you're right about that. Let me see something out of Trae Young. Can we get that, Kevin? 24 points, 13 assists, 7 rebounds, what it's going to take to beat the Miami Heat? I'm not so sure, because if you stated, we haven't seen it in the past from Trae Young, particularly last year.
Certainly have not. On Wednesday, we get the 9-10 games. The Raptors host the Chicago Bulls. The Pels host the Thunder. Both home teams are five-point favorites. This is year three of the play-in, which means we've had four 9-10 games. In the history so far, three out of the four winners of the 9-10 game have then gone on to make the playoffs. So, odds are, one of these four teams is actually going to secure the eighth seed. At least that's just the early suggestion from the history of the play-in here, DRS. And I can't help but wonder if OKC and SGA can't get hot for two games here and crash into the postseason overall.
Yeah, it would be sensational to watch that play out. And also, you take a look at the Eastern Conference. I see the Raptors there at 41-41 and think, I mean, they can beat the Hawks here. They can certainly beat the Bulls at home. I think the Toronto Raptors, if we're looking at one team that you think can actually get into the playoffs, the true playoffs, I'll take the Toronto Raptors there at that point.
It's certainly plausible. We also have odds available for the playoff series that are set, including their game number ones. Sixers, 8.5 over Brooklyn. Cavs lay 6 to the Knicks. Suns lay 7.5 to the Clippers. Kings, Warriors, tight line. Warriors open as very slight favorites. Kings now lay a point here. It's going to be a fun, fun series to break down. Let's talk about Odell Beckham Jr. next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the grid, and Odell Beckham Jr. is a Baltimore Raven. Huge signing in terms of what does it mean? I guess, is the best way I can put it. Odell, if he would have landed in Arizona, we would have talked about it, but it doesn't probably have the same ripple effects here for Odell. One of the big surprises for this Odell Beckham Jr. situation is that he's going to be getting at least $15 million from the Baltimore Ravens and could be making as much as $18 million on this one-year deal. So I want to handle this portion of the Odell conversation because I think it's pretty easy. He was supposed to have a meeting with the Jets. Here's what I think happened. He met with the Ravens. They offered him this. He called the Jets. And it was like, yeah, obviously, I know you're not giving me $15 million guaranteed. Chance to make 18. I'm going to Baltimore. And the Jets, I imagine, then, Donnie, wished him well, because this was the type of contract that it almost felt like Odell came out and said, I'm not even asking for this much money. And then out of nowhere, the Baltimore Ravens came over the top and probably gave him more than he ever could have imagined.
Yeah, in a depressed free agent market for wide receivers, Kevin, for a guy that's over 30 years old, a couple ACL injuries, what were we thinking at this point? Because usually if you're available to sign, which he's been the entire offseason here, and certainly end of last year where he was looking to make a deal with the Dallas Cowboys or maybe a playoff team but wanted the bag and didn't get it, we were thinking to ourselves, you know what? You know what a great deal for Odell Beckham would be? Maybe a one-year deal, 3-4 million guaranteed, chance to make like 5 or 6, but really a show me. Because basically what you could say is, hey, by the way, game 7, game 8, Odell looks really good. Let's open up the books and really talk about an extension here. Now, the fact of the matter is that he got a $15 million one-year guaranteed deal as his look-see. That's pretty impressive by his agent. Now, there might be some underlying factors in Baltimore, Kevin, that we're going to get a look at. But just from an Odell Beckham side, his agent did an unbelievable job coming off a couple ACLs here, not playing over 30, and get guaranteed $15 million for 1 year, which means if he plays well, Kevin, he's a free agent at the end of the year. I think he did really well from a financial aspect. I do.
So then we get to the Lamar side of it, right? And people say, well, he's not signing there if Lamar's not coming back. I disagree. You want to know why he signed with Baltimore? We just explained it. He got more money from the Ravens than anybody thought he was getting. We can expand on whether we think Lamar's coming back, Donnie, but this is not in the way that the Jets bringing in Lazard was this big, obvious Aaron Rodgers is coming flashing signal. That's not what this is. Look, this offer could have been made to him by any team, and I think Odell Beckham Jr. was then taking that offer. That is why he is a Baltimore Raven.
You hit the nail on the head here, because let's take a look at this too from a Lamar Jackson perspective here. Lamar has let it be known, every time the Ravens come to me with a contract offer, if it's not fully guaranteed, get it out of my face. I want everything guaranteed. Oh, that's fine. You want to give me $150 million guaranteed on a $250 million deal? Great. Here's my counter. $250 million all guaranteed. So now Odell Beckham goes to Baltimore on a big contract, right? So Lamar Jackson just gets on the phone and says, oh, man, you know what? I completely changed my stance. 50% guaranteed because Odell Beckham just signed with the Baltimore Ravens. Are you kidding me? This means nothing to me. And if the Ravens front office is approaching this by going, watch us spend crazy money on a wideout to save $100 million in guaranteed money on our quarterback because he's going to give in because Odell Beckham Jr. is here. Let's not get it twisted. Is it a nice piece to add to your wide receiver room? Yes, because if you added me to the Baltimore wide receiving room, that would have been an upgrade over what they basically been getting over the past couple of years. So you have that enticement here, but make no mistake about it. And also, Kevin, if this means that Lamar Jackson is coming off of his number because Odell Beckham signed, my goodness, I mean, you really should have an agent to begin with, Lamar, because I don't know what your negotiation skills are at this point where I want guaranteed. You signed Odell. You know what? I'll take $50 million guaranteed less. There's no way that's happening here. So for the people out there, for me, if I'm looking at this honestly, Odell Beckham Jr. to the Baltimore Ravens means absolutely nothing to Lamar Jackson and his contract dispute.
For me, I think you could easily say it. You would expect him to be the best wide receiver in Baltimore. Now, I don't care what you actually think. Lamar is going to feel that way, kind of thing, right? We can have a debate on, oh, it's Rashad Bateman, or, oh, I think Devin Duvernay is a none of that matters. Well, Odell Beckham Jr. is the kind of guy that Lamar Jackson comes in and goes, oh, that's interesting. They actually got me a player, a piece, a guy to work with there. So in that way, it could be interesting for Lamar Jackson. But again, Lamar rerouting everything he's doing, the biggest contract of his life, because OBJ showed up, would be the craziest possible thing that could happen. Here's the other end of this that I saw some chatter with online, Donnie. Admittedly, contract stuff, it's at times difficult to kind of figure out because it feels like sometimes NFL contracts are completely fake. However, the Ravens, this is a one-year deal, meaning this is all hitting the cap, Donnie, right here, right now. The notion from some is that now perhaps a team can actually just offer Lamar a deal that Baltimore can't afford. Front-load the contract, and there's nothing the Ravens can do. And if the Ravens just allowed themselves to be outbid for Lamar because they brought in Odell Beckham Jr., I cannot imagine that they would be that foolish it would add credence to what I've been saying, which I still believe, is that Baltimore will gladly let Lamar leave. Now, they are going to want compensation, but I don't think this Ravens organization is upset at the idea that Lamar is no longer their franchise quarterback.
And I think you might be onto something here, because if you take a look at the way, yes, that was structured, there is no wiggle room there. So if you're looking for the Ravens to go, hey, you know what? Maybe it does entice another team. Maybe the other team puts the quote-unquote poison pill, Kevin, into this and goes, hey, by the way, $75 million guaranteed year one there. Oh, no, we can't do that now. Look at this money we signed here. Oh, sorry. Sorry to see you go, Lamar. We'll take our two first-round draft picks, which comes along with that transitional tag. Maybe they're so deviant that that actually is what they've been thinking. Let's make a couple signings where now we can't actually afford it if you guys structured a certain way, we can save face with our fan base here. That would be next level. That's like playing, you know, 3D chess at this point when somebody else is playing checkers. That's something that we probably haven't thought about. But my whole thing is here again. If we saw, like, you know, OBJ FaceTiming there with Lamar Jackson. Yeah, I'm sure he wants to play with them. But I would love to see in the next week or two, they start to make headway, meaning the Ravens with Lamar Jackson, he's coming way off his number because of who they signed. That's not the way this thought process works. Because if that was the case, Lamar Jackson would have reached out to the Ravens and go, hey, you know what? I'll take way less. I'll go the Tom Brady route. Sign me three or four wide receivers. Let's load up on defense and make a run here. Lamar wants his money. Lamar's going to get his money here. And if Odell Beckham Jr. signs, that's not a way to say, you know what, man? I'll risk $50 million, what I thought I could be, just because one of my friends is coming to town. That's not the way professional sports works.
I just also really appreciate that Lamar has now, due to the FaceTime photo that went around, spoke to Odell Beckham Jr. for infinity amount more time than he has spoke to new Ravens offensive coordinator Todd Monken, I'm now starting to think will never once have a conversation with in his life. Major League Baseball takes over here on the Early Line. The happenings of the weekend are next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Baseball, baseball, baseball. Where do we begin? We begin with the greatest team in the history of Major League Baseball, Tampa Bay Rays. Now, are they actually the greatest team? This would certainly be a good start. 9 games, 9 wins, all of them by at least 4 runs. So if you're betting and you're laying the run line with every single Rays game, things are going well. Things are going very, very well. The question now becomes just how good is this Tampa team? The records that they're kind of touching or repeating or stuff from the 1800s. So this is an incredibly, incredibly unique start here from Tampa Bay. And this is actually now seeing the Rays move with the best odds in the AL East in front of the Blue Jays and in front of the New York Yankees, now at plus 145. Are you buying the Rays? Are you buying the Rays? Do you want Rays to win the AL pennant, A's to win the World Series? 9 games in, no team has scored more runs, no team has allowed fewer runs.
I don't think we're ever selling the Tampa Bay Rays, right? So, I mean, buying them should be quite easy. It was always a matter of fact is we knew they would have a good bullpen. We knew they would have solid starting pitching. But what would happen? You take away the analytics and you can't shift every play. Hasn't mattered to them. And maybe the shift going against them is what the issue was, because they are absolutely on fire on offense. Every single guy in that lineup, left-handed pitching, right-handed pitching, certainly doing damage. Now, granted, it is a long Major League Baseball season. Some, like Kevin, would say 182-game season. We know that's wrong. It's 162. But having said that, the Rays are really good, and they're going to be a player in the AL East here.
Incredible. Incredible how you turn your slight mess-ups into my problem, my fault. It's impressive. Here is the thing with Tampa, though. And I know win totals aren't perfect, and I know that I know it's dominant, but the Detroit Tigers who they played in their opening series at home, had the seventh lowest win total. The Washington Nationals, who they played in their second series, had the lowest win total in baseball. And the Oakland Athletics, who they just played in their third series back at home, had the second lowest win total in all of baseball. I'm not saying the Rays are missing the playoffs, but they just jumped two teams in the AL East odds because they have a three-game lead. Come on, come on. This is an overreaction, Donnie. This is an overreaction here on Tampa Bay. Their next seven games, Boston, four of them at home, and then three games at Toronto. I mean, is the 7-0? Is that what we're supposed to expect here now from the Tampa Bay Rays?
I mean, we'll see. Sooner or later, they are going to lose a game. We understand that. But the same way you can say, well, hold on, look who they played. Let me play devil's advocate. The Rays are 0-9. They played the three best teams in baseball. Look at their win percentages here, because they would have beat the Rays three straight games here. You can't really play off it, even though, yes, we didn't have high, you know, expectations for the A's and the Nats. I get that. Maybe we'll find something in Detroit this year. But it's working. It's not 1-0 wins, 2-1 wins. Woo, we barely got by that game. They are hammering the baseball, which has always been the problem with the Rays. Where are they going to find hitting from? Right now, Kevin, they're finding hitting 1-9 in their lineup by Lowe's and Lau's and Arozarena. I mean, there is a ton of players overperforming early to start the season. Let's see what happens, because I got a feeling 9-0 turns into 10-0 today, Kevin, by the way.
And we'll preview that game. And yes, I understand that had they lost all those games, but that's why I used win totals. That's not why I didn't bring up the Nationals being 3-7. Donnie, there's seven teams that had win totals of less than 70 games. They've only played teams in those seven. That's the point here. Again, it's not to say it's unimpressive. If the Warriors played last night's Blazers team all 82 games and won all 82 by 56 points
on the road.
All right, I mean, look, this is pretty crazy. This is pretty nuts here. The Rays have been impressive. They're the favorites in the AL East. That's an overreaction. That's what it comes down to. Let's talk about another AL East team though. Toronto, Big 3. Vladdy Jr., you expect it. Bo Bichette, you expect it. Matt Chapman, back in Oakland, had one season where he was kind of sort of in the mix for an AL MVP. He is, to a degree, leading the charge here and rounding out an impressive Big 3 for the Toronto Blue Jay line.
Yeah, a lot of fun to watch. And who would have thought that, right? You have that many performers on one single team here. And specifically, Kevin, it's not like, hey, we have two or three guys here in the top RBI runs or maybe in the home run race. The fact of the matter is they're all hitting at that elite of a clip. It's a lot of fun to watch. And granted, getting back into Toronto in that smaller ballpark is going to be a lot of fun to try to watch it play out. But having said that, we expected this out of Toronto. That Toronto lineup was supposed to perform. But the fact of the matter is that you're showing Matt Chapman now leading Major League Baseball with 19 hits is sensational. And maybe that means how good that lineup actually is, where you can't pitch around certain guys anymore because you're getting the trouble. These guys performing doesn't surprise it to me. And Toronto is one of those teams that we both looked at here heading into the season, doing some damage. Great to see them already getting hot at the plate.
Absolutely. So a 475 batting average for Matt Chapman early season here, leading the way. Another guy that's leading the way is Pete Alonso. He's got five home runs. That's tied with Brian Reynolds, who respectfully you think will drop off. One behind Pete Alonso is Aaron Judge with four. And if you look right now, the FanDuel Sportsbook, Judge plus 320 to lead baseball in home runs, 7-1 on Pete Alonso, which is actually the same number as Mike Trout. Look, I'm a big Trout fan, but what world do we trust in him to stay healthy enough to go out there and win a home run crown? Not the one that we're currently living in. That will be pretty fun if this is a race between the two New York team's best players in Pete Alonso and Aaron Judge for the home run crown here in 2023.
Yeah, and the reason why I bring up Pete Alonso with the five home runs is he is the polar bear here. Now, it doesn't mean that he likes cold weather, but my goodness. Like, I bet him as one of my RBI props on Saturday. He actually went yard. That game was in 40 degrees. Kevin, let's just wait around until we get actual hitting weather here. 85 degrees and the wind blowing out where you can really gas some of these baseballs up. That's what I'm impressed with here. If Alonso gets off to that hot start, you're looking at the MVP market. You're looking at the home run market here. And also just being a legitimate threat in the middle of that talented lineup. If you're looking for a silver lining on the Mets with so many things you're looking from a pitching perspective that haven't worked out, Pete Alonso looks like he's showing up and maybe be able to put an MVP effort together here in the National League.
The batting average has to come up. He's batting .237 on the season. At bats that don't finish in home runs, he's batting .151.
Yeah.
Now the home runs count. I'm just saying the batting average has to come up if you're Pete Alonso for the Mets overall, and of course what this team wants to do with their season. Stolen base watch. What are we gonna get involved with some records here? Maybe not. Miles Straw's got 6 of them. Ton of other guys got 5, including Gleyber Torres, who does not belong on that list, but shout out to Gleyber for being aggressive early season here. Are you into the stolen base race?
It's really interesting because it's one of those afterthoughts coming into the season that you never take a look at. But let's just say, Kevin, we're roughly a week or so into the season. Miles Straw, the Cleveland Guardians, has 6. So let's just say that would be an average of roughly 20 or so stolen bases a month. If that happens, April, May, June, July, August, are we looking at guys that could approach 100 stolen bases as if we're getting back to the mid-80s and the Ricky Henderson era? That would be a lot of fun. But if anybody's watching Major League Baseball right now, you are seeing guys taking advantage of the catchers here, and I love it. More action in baseball is what we wished we would have, and we're getting that now, which includes guys actually trying to steal bases as opposed to saying, don't run into an out. We're trying to hit a 3-run home run here.
Yeah, look, last year, the AL and NL stolen base leaders combined for 76 total bags. Could Miles Straw push that number? I think he could. I think he could. And it's been a long time since we've seen anybody swipe 70 bases in a season. You got to go back to Jacoby Ellsbury in 09. But with the rule changes, the aggressiveness, this is, of course, that was a Boston Red Sox Jacoby Ellsbury season.
Before the
pinstripes.
Yeah.
Is he still on the Yankees, Jacoby Ellsbury?
I think he has 6 more years.
Honestly?
I think he has 6 more years to go at this point. I do.
Like, I think they, like, sent him, like, you know, the Rockets sent home John Wall? Yes. Yeah, I think the Yankees might have sent home Jacoby Ellsbury with about a decade left on that contract. It's an ugly, ugly scene. To sneak this in here quickly, DRS, the Pirates do lose O'Neill Cruz, which is a tough blow for a team that is enjoying a nice start to their season, 6-3 overall.
Yeah, one of those teams, and every once in a while, and it's a shame that, you know, a team that operates in such a small market, with Pittsburgh generally not the biggest market, but come on, you got to be able to spend some money. You actually got a little bit of excitement out of that roster to start and say what things could be, and already you go down with a broken ankle here. One of the more talented players in Major League Baseball. If you remember last year, Kevin, O'Neill Cruz breaks in, and it wasn't talking about like, hey, how great is he at the plate? It's, will he break the hand of the first baseman because he throws 150 miles an hour across the diamond? One of the young, bright superstars in the game shelved. You hate to see that.
One game, by the way, we're not going to talk about today. I think it's going to be the Dodger game. So if I can then just quickly bring up the now it's early, whatever, but the Dodgers losing 3 in a row to the Diamondbacks. And this is the thing, right? Now, the Diamondbacks win total like 75.5, but still, the Dodgers have only played Arizona and Colorado so far. 8 of their games have been against Arizona, and they're 5-5. Like, if the Dodgers were sat there at 8-2, to be fair to the Rays, we'd be like, here comes another 107-win Dodger season. That's an ugly start there for the LA Dodgers. We'll see if they'll turn it around against the Giants. Let's preview a baseball slate coming up right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Early Line is live on SportsGrid in about 20 minutes. We hand this off to the Morning After crew, Ben Stevens and co. I believe DRS will be in the mix as well. Usually, with Monday morning, right? And they've missed Donnie all weekend because Donnie doesn't work weekends, right? Too much of a top star for that. So he's kind of got it booked now where he has to stay on for that extra hour on a Monday. The people love it. Draws big time numbers, right? DRS, you're helping out the people. We like to see that.
I mean, some people, hey, maybe I'll even have the first hour all by myself on TMA. You never know, K-Dub. You never know.
Listen, I've heard that people think that that's a nice piece of business there, you working solo style there. Let's make it happen, though, with a baseball preview. We start things off with the same game parlay. Rays, Red Sox. This is the game we're going to go to. We talked a lot about Tampa just a couple of minutes ago and how good this team has been. They've scored the most runs in baseball. They've allowed the fewest runs in baseball. 75 scored, 18 allowed. They've won every single game by four or more runs. It's a light line today, relatively speaking. Minus 162 for Tampa Bay. Total in the game, 8.5. What are you doing with a same game parlay?
Three legs in this one we can all enjoy, Kevin, at a plus 180 price. It starts with the Tampa Bay Rays money line just to win this game. Why? Because they've won every single game they've played this year, and I do believe they're going to win again today, and backed up by some elite hitting here. We're going to go Wander Franco just to get a base hit, along with Brandon Lau just to get a base hit. If those three things happen, that's a nice plus 180 price that I'm supremely confident will cash in for my same game parlay.
Lovely, lovely stuff there from DRS. Get involved if you so choose. For me, let's look for juice in this game because I think you've got two pitchers that are fade material here on the mound. Give me Devers to get a hit, who's got good numbers against Fleming. Give me a Rosarena to get a hit, who's got good numbers against Pivetta. Give me the over 8.5. Because everybody's got good numbers, actually, against Pivetta and Fleming. Shout out to Josh Fleming, who we allowed off of our radio show today to go out there and start this game, Donnie.
Yeah, that's good. I was going to say, because from what I've been hearing in the red, like, he has a nickname. He's called the producer on the mound. So that's pretty good stuff that
He's going to listen. Hopefully he can produce runs and hits today.
Correct.
To bring in some action for the people. Let's stick with the former AL East favorites, and that's the New York Yankees, as they make a trip to Cleveland, and they're going to see Shane Bieber. This might just be the first time I think we've seen the Yanks as dogs this season now, as this is going to be an interesting spot with Shane Bieber on the mound. What do you want to do here, Cleveland and New York?
I'm excited to see this one, too, because when you take a look at the Guardians, how they line up against the Yankees, it's all about pitching here. And Bieber will be on the mound on the young season, Kevin. 46 batters that he has faced, a 359 xFIP number. Strikeout percentage actually a little bit lower here at 21%. But if we're trying to lay out between lefties and righties here for Bieber, they haven't had much success, Kevin. 23 left-handed batters, a 181 weighted on base percentage, and a zero ISO power number. To right-handed batters, that's a 234 with an ISO of a 130. Now, here's what you like about the Yankees, though, against right-handed pitching on this early season. Take a look at some of these guys. LeMahieu through Torres, 1-5. LeMahieu's got a 350 ISO power number. Judge, 304. Rizzo, 222. Stanton, 450. And Torres, 350. Those first four or five guys are lighting it up here. But again, you're going to take on Bieber. Let's flip it over to a Guardians perspective and how they line up against Herman. Herman has been sensational overall. An xFIP of 105. Why, Kevin? He hasn't walked a batter and has struck out 44% of those 18 batters he's faced. And if we're looking at the lineup today for the Guardians, there's not a lot to like. Outside of Naylor here at a 316 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 498 through 21 at-bats, there's not a lot to love. So if we're saying to ourselves, who's going to win this game? I'm going to say I abstain from that market, but I actually like the under here today with the Guardians-Yanks.
Understandable. I wanted to ask you, but and you hit on it, though, the idea of the lineup around Aaron Judge. So often we would do these Yankee breakdowns, and it would kind of fluctuate between, oh, the top of the lineup is okay, to this is Judge by himself, but Glaber's been playing well, Rizzo's been playing well, Stan's got a couple of home runs on the season. We'll see, though, as again you mentioned here, a big challenge with Shane Bieber on the mound. The Astros and the Pirates, and two teams, way different preseason expectations. Two teams, though, starting a bit differently here. The Astros are struggling early. 4-6 right now. They did win their last game against Minnesota 5-1. Pirates are playing well as they got a 6-3 start, but we mentioned O'Neill Cruz going to be out of the lineup now. We don't have the official timeline, but you expect it to be a little bit. What do you think here with Pittsburgh and Houston? The Stros are almost a minus 200 favorite on the road.
Yeah, taking a look here for me, maybe an under as well. If you're looking at Contreras here, XFIP is a little bit high, Kevin, 4.69%. That's because he doesn't have a big strikeout number to start the season, only facing 22 batters. He struck out roughly 10% of those batters. But how about this? Lefties, a 160 weighted on base percentage against Contreras. Righties, a 173. That's fantastic. And also, he's a right-handed pitcher, and you're right with the Astros starting out this year against right-handed pitching. It hasn't looked all that good. Alvarez and Tucker are doing very well, Kevin. Everybody else in that lineup underperforming against right-handed pitchers. And if we swing it over here and try to line up Valdez, who's a very good pitcher, early season for him, he's faced about 50 batters, Kevin. How about this? A 2 XFIP number and a K rate of 26%. If we're looking at that Pittsburgh lineup, they've done very well against right-handed pitching, not so much against lefties. Outside of Hayes with a 200 ISO power number and Joe with a 333, everybody's got limited to bats, 5 or less against lefties, and haven't done any damage here. I'm looking for another under here if we take a look at the Astros and the Pirates.
Understandable. One guy I know people are going to look at is Yordan Alvarez, though, who is continuing to just be one of the best hitters in all of baseball. 14 RBIs, which is tied for the tops in the majors. He's not had consecutive games without an RBI. Didn't have one his last game out, so he could still certainly be dangerous in this matchup here. Padres-Mets, this is fun. The San Diego Padres, look, it's early. So I don't know if you can send messages and make statements, but if you can, they did. They just took 3 straight off Atlanta in Atlanta, but it doesn't get easier for them. They now go and play the Mets at Citi Field, and Max Scherzer has the ball. Darvish is on the other side. Awesome game here today between the Mets and the Padres.
Yeah, and what gives on some of these future analytical numbers here? Because if you're taking a look at Yu Darvish, XFIP here only through 21 batters is a 7.19. Now, granted, we expect that to be much, much lower. Maybe that starts today. K percentage low, walk rate just way too high. Actually, out of those 21 batters, Kevin, he's actually walked 20% of those batters giving free passes. But let's flip it around on the other side. Max Scherzer, oh, he's been dominant, right? Absolutely not. 6.16 XFIP number, K rate under 20%, walking too many batters. And get this, only a ground ball percentage of 25%, which means 3 out of every 4 baseballs, Kevin, is either a line drive or a ball in the air. That's not good for a pitcher. So then, very unlike Max Scherzer, 47 batters he's faced on the season. Lefties a 335 weighted on base percentage. Righties a 459. But get this, Kevin. How many times have we seen Max Scherzer just mow batters down and you don't have great success? Look at the ISO power numbers. 292 to lefties, 421 to righties. Did they snap back today? I'm going to say I actually like Darvish and the Padres more than I do the Mets and Scherzer today just because of the way these lineups are up. But granted, 2 star pitchers here struggling early on with at least some of those analytical numbers.
It'll be interesting to see as well for the Mets in that they did just lose one of their key guys, Starling Marte, a neck strain on a slide into third base. It's not, I guess they, again, they haven't given us a timeline. I'd just be very surprised if you see Starling Marte out there in the lineup. That's got a guy too that's had success against Darvish in his career. Mets are certainly hoping to have him back out there as soon as possible. Royals Rangers is the next game on the docket here. KC making the trip to Texas, which is why we've got a minus 172 number on those Rangers. Total for this game is a 9.
Maybe you have a dog shot here in this game, finally, right? You're taking a look at about that plus 145 price range for the Kansas City Royals and why it makes sense. Take a look at Heaney on the mound, the lefty coming over to the Rangers this year. XFIP, again, we're talking about early season numbers. Over a 7, not a lot of strikeouts, too many walks, but also 4 batters that he's faced from the left-hand side. He is a lefty. Not going to get that many today. Looks like just Melendez will be in the lineup for the Royals, your anticipated starting lineup as a lefty. The rest will be righties. Why is that important, Kevin? And again, I preface this by saying we don't have a lot of numbers, but the only numbers we have this year, 13 batters that Heaney's faced from the right-hand side, Kevin, 644 weighted on base percentage, ISO 583. 8 out of the 9 batters expected today to be from the right-hand side. Maybe a dog shot today for those Kansas City Royals.
I will say there are a couple of guys that have had really, really good success in that Ranger lineup up against Greinke. We'll see if that carries. Also, just one of my favorite early season things in baseball, Andrew Heaney's ERA, a 23.63. I love stuff like that. It's funny. It won't last all that long. Cardinals, Rockies here. St. Louis, slow starters. They opened it up very nicely against the Toronto Blue Jays, but it's been a house of horrors since. They struggled against Atlanta, struggled against Milwaukee. They're going to try and get right here at Colorado. Return, as always, should be noted for Nolan Arenado.
And also, we're taking a look at some of these pitching matchups here. Matt should be able to get the start for St. Louis as we're anticipating a left-handed pitcher. Now, if we look at the lineup here for the Colorado Rockies, we usually think that they hit at home no matter what, but just opening up the season, they haven't seen a ton of left-handed pitching. Most they have in the lineup is Crone and McMahon, both with 12 at-bats against lefties. They haven't done well. Now, here's the breakdown. Matt's actually has a 3 xFIP number and a K rate of 28% through 25 batters, which is very good. Matt is a lefty. He's dominated the 6 at-bats that he's faced from the left-hand side. But the right-hand side, Kevin, a 624 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 389, which isn't good. But here's the rub that we're going up against. If we look at this lineup today, McMahon, who's a lefty, he's got an ISO power number of 333 against left-handed pitching. The rest of the lineup, no better than 125 as an ISO power number. That's disastrous. If we're looking at weighted on base percentage here from the Rockies going up against left-handed pitching in 2023, Blackman's got a 613. Daza's got a 478. Everybody else well below their average here. So the question is going to be for me is Matz is struggling with right-handed batters. Catch up to him to get today against a team that really hasn't hit left-handed pitching all that well. That's the battle that we need to watch.
Really, really fun matchup. Two guys that have strong numbers on one end of it. Charlie Blackman's done very, very well in his career against Matz. Yep. Goldschmidt's done well against Marquez. Other games on the board, as I mentioned, Dodgers and Giants, minus 154. Julio Urias has the ball against Logan Webb. Logan, it's interesting. Is there value on the Giants there, Donnie? Are the Dodgers numbers too strong early season?
It's interesting to see it because Urias is a very good pitcher, Kevin. And let me give you this, because we don't have any statistics on wins and Ramos this year, but I'm going to go over the ISO power numbers here against lefties early season for the Giants. 0-0, 0-0, 0-0, and 0. So there you go. Enjoy. Now, granted, 5-6 at-bats on the season, but they have done absolutely nothing against left-handed pitching. And that's not a tomato can in Julio Urias. That's Prego right there. That's delicious sauce.
Certainly so. Also notable, Sandy Alcantara is at Philly and is a road favorite in the game. If you want to know how things are going for the Philadelphia Phillies, but also the Phillies are kind of, you know what I mean? You know how that Phillies rotation goes. You get starter number 5, the Phillies are probably going to be a dog in the game. Really fun baseball slate. Don't go anywhere, folks. You got to listen up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the day here for the Early Line on a Monday edition of the Early Line right here on SiriusXM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Kevin and Donnie, 7 to 9 a.m., powering through, getting you the hottest topics that you need, and certainly handing it over to Ben Stevens in the morning after, coming up next on the Sports Grid Network. I'll be a part of that first hour, so make sure you do tune in. What did we go over today? What I should say is, what didn't we actually go over today? Sensational stuff at the Masters on a tournament that we might thought would have finished on Monday, played yesterday all the way through in glorious chilly conditions down at Augusta, where John Rahm slips on the green jacket for the first time. The NBA playoffs came right down to the wire with a ton of high scoring games yesterday, with teams jockeying for playoff positioning and also jockeying for pinballs here. Thank you, Dallas Mavericks. Hopefully you get the 11th pick in the draft and lose your top 10 pick that you were supposed to get out of the Porzingis deal. That's what you get for tanking here. But also looking forward to the NFL draft coming up in just a few short weeks. Odell Beckham Jr. signing with the Baltimore Ravens and what that means for Lamar Jackson. But I think when we start to talk post-Masters here in the spring, it's time to talk some NBA. Listen up. Hey, did you just hear that? Be quiet. The NBA playoffs are about to begin, or should we say the NBA play-in game. Still the playoffs at this point right now. Teams that jockeyed for position all the way through 10, 9, 8, and 7. Some of those games, the winner will move on to into the playoffs. The loser will go home, but also in the play-in, some of those teams will lose their first game and have a chance to redeem themselves in game number two. Now, you can also use it as a springboard. We've seen it happen in NCAA March Madness action. A team that plays in that first four gets hot, wins a couple games in the tournament, and away they go. You could see that happening here, but do we expect that? Probably not. How vulnerable are the Nuggets out on the West Coast there in playing in the Western Conference, and can they handle the Phoenix Suns, who look like they're ready to win a world championship? It's fun to talk about, but also keep in mind, we're in April. We're going to talk about this all through April, all through May and June, because the NBA playoffs are a long stretch here. Now stay tuned to The Morning After and Ben Stevens coming up next on the Sports Grid Network.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.